Would you please stand if you are able and join me in the call to worship. Easter people, Christ is risen. God is doing a new thing.
Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Life has conquered death. Love has overcome fear.
Hallelujah. Christ is
God has transformed a dead end into a new start.
Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Easter people, raise your voices. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Christ, join us now as we sing Christ the Lord is Risen Today. It's hymn number 302 in your hymnals. We are singing verses 1, 2, 3, and 5. Please join me now in the opening prayer. God of mystery and might, on a dawn shrouded in grief and pain, you surprise us with the light of your wondrous love. We come to the tomb expecting death, but find life instead. Take us back to that moment when fear was healed by hope and death was banished by life. In the holy awe of Easter morning, may we sing out with joy, for Christ our Lord has risen today.
On a Friday and the sky turned black, it's hard to dance with the devil on your back. They buried my body and I thought I'd gone, but I am the dance and I still go on.
Dance then wherever you may be.
Invite the children to come up and join me. Good morning, everyone. Happy Easter. And how wonderful it is to see each and every one of you here today. I'm really happy to see your beautiful faces. And this is my beautiful granddaughter. Hi. So this is spring. This is also, what day is today? Easter. So spring sometimes can teach us a little bit about the meaning behind Easter. Can you think of some things that you see in spring that remind you of Easter? What the meaning behind Easter is?
Anybody? You're trying really hard over there, aren't you? Yeah, even behind me, what do you see? Flowers? We haven't seen the flowers all winter, have we? Nope, we haven't. They were down in the ground, right? They were kind of like they were in the tomb, like Jesus is in the tomb. But then in the spring, what happened? They bloomed. They came up out of the ground. They were resurrected. So can you think of anything else in the spring? Maybe an animal or an insect? A bunny? You said bears? This is what happens when you don't have it already, right? Okay, so bears hibernate during the winter, right? And a lot of the animals hibernate during the winter, and we don't see them. They're down in their holes, kind of like the seeds were down, of the plants were down in the ground. And then when spring happens, they come back, right? Yeah. Okay, so what's this? The caterpillar. What happens with a caterpillar? It turns into a butterfly. How does it get from the caterpillar to the butterfly? A cocoon. Whoops, got to go the other way, I think. There, that's a cocoon, right? Oh, you guys can't see it over there, can you? There's the cocoon. See the cocoon? Do you see it, Soph? So inside the cocoon is the butterfly, is the caterpillar, right? And the caterpillar has to die. It completely kind of disintegrates. And then it turns into this other thing, right? What does it turn into? A butterfly. So we have, here's the cocoon with, you can kind of see the butterfly in there. Can you see the wings? And then, so the caterpillar is like Jesus when he's on the earth, when he's moving around like we are, eating and sleeping, and he's been healing people, and he's been doing the work of God. And then he dies and goes into the cocoon. And then, what's this? Is there anything in there? It's an empty cocoon, kind of like an empty tomb, right? Where did he go? Where did he go? You don't know? He turned into what? A butterfly. And the butterfly, I have another butterfly because I keep this on my desk. Because I like to remember that the butterfly represents the new life that Christ is risen. Do you see, you want to hold that for me, Soph? Christ is risen. He is new life. He left the tomb. He overcame the grave. And he lives forever, right? And the butterfly can also represent, the caterpillar to the butterfly also represents us, our spiritual, our lives. When we surrender ourselves to Jesus, to God, we are like the caterpillar to the butterfly. We become this beautiful, beautiful thing that God always intended us to be. So praise God. Praise God. Let's have a little prayer. Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you for this Resurrection Sunday, for this day when we remember that you overcame death and gave us new life. And that because of you, our relationship to God is restored. And we can become changed just like you wanted us to be. And we can live forever in your presence. Be with us this day and every day, always reminding us and helping us to never forget that you love us and we are worthy because of you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be walking through several scripture verses now. I'll be reading scripture verse. Pastor Jeff will then be giving a short response to that, reflection on it. And then we will sing a hymn. You may remain seated during all of this and just follow along as we go. Our first scripture verse is from Matthew 28, 1 through 8. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples.
Well, once again, we are invited to hear the revelation of the risen Christ from the eyewitnesses present on the morning of the first Easter. The first witnesses were two women named Mary, who knew Jesus well. They were with him throughout his 3-year ministry, traveling with him from Galilee to Jerusalem and the many places in between. They listened to the teachings, witnessed the miracles of healing, and struggled with his prediction of suffering, death, and resurrection. They watched as he was hung on the cross. They gasped with Jesus as he took his last breath and even saw his body being laid in the tomb. After witnessing these things and pondered about them over the night, they decided to go back to the tomb after the Sabbath. It is possible they went anticipating his resurrection as Jesus had told them. They went searching in hope of some kind of revelation that would make sense of the past 3 years of their life following Jesus, the one who had given them hope of a future with him. As they approached the tomb, God opened it with an earthquake and sent an angel with the announcement that Jesus was not there. He had risen. The earthly powers had sealed the tomb and secured its entrance with guards to affirm Jesus' death. However, God's power rolled back the stone to affirm Jesus' life. The women were invited to see that Jesus was risen. It is from their witness that we too are invited to consider the empty tomb and the angel's affirmation as God's revelation of the Christ. Jesus from Nazareth, Emmanuel, God with us, is risen. Jesus, the one who was sent to save the world from sin through his sacrifice on the cross and gives life eternal through his resurrection from the dead. This is the eyewitness's testimony. Do we believe this is true?
And now let us sing, "Up from the Grave He Rose," number 322.
Thank you.
John 20, 1 through 10. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciples started toward the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the stripes of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying.
I concluded my first reflection with the question, do we believe in the eyewitnesses' testimony? Before we answer the question, we must know their testimony wasn't just about the tomb being empty. The whole of their testimonies was captured in the four Gospels written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Each Gospel was written from a particular point of view with different audiences in mind, but all were written with the purpose of revealing Jesus of Nazareth as the long-expected Messiah or Christ, promised to the world to be Savior and Lord as revealed in God's covenant relationship with the Hebrew people, which was captured in the Old Testament books of our Bible. The empty tomb is the culmination of the revelation of Jesus, the risen Christ, who reigns forever in the kingdom of God and promised to raise with him all who believe in him as Savior and Lord. John's gospel lesson invites us to run with urgency with the other disciples to the empty tomb to discern what we believe. What evidence do we need to believe? Like the first disciples, we all come to belief based on our own investigation and discernment of what is revealed to us. Peter required deep analysis of what was left behind in the tomb, seeing the strips of cloth and a head covering folded and lying as if Jesus placed them there himself. Peter still left the empty tomb, still processing what he saw. The other disciple with Peter glanced inside, and we are told he saw and he believed. Again, we each come to belief at our own pace and our own path of discipleship. The important thing is that we take the time to discern what we believe and allow what we know with our minds to impact our hearts. It is this discernment process and an openness to the risen Christ that moves us from belief to faith.
Thank you.
Now Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and we don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. Thinking he was a gardener, he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
There's a difference between belief and faith. It may seem to be subtle, but the effects are profound. Belief is an understanding, a rational conclusion. Faith is a conviction of the heart to act on what we believe to be true. When Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that it was empty, and depending on which gospel we read, she received a message from an angel that Jesus had risen. She believed that he was not in the tomb. However, she still was distraught in her heart as to where he was and how that impacted her life. According to John's gospel, Mary Magdalene returned to the tomb with Peter and the other disciple. While there, she wept and searched for Jesus, still not grasping what it meant for Jesus to be risen. Angels tried to console her, yet all she wanted was to know where Jesus was. She believed he was taken away, by whom or to where she did not know. Then, in her desperation, Jesus met her where she was and called her by name. Hearing her name, her heart was no longer distraught. By the end of her encounter with the risen Jesus, she was convinced Jesus was indeed her Lord and Savior. She moved from belief to faith as she returned to tell the disciples she saw the Lord. In our discipleship journey, we are invited to move from belief in Jesus and his teachings that we read about in the scriptures to faith in Jesus, the risen Christ, who calls us by name. Like Mary, this transition comes when we search for Jesus with our heart, desiring his presence in our life. Faith is giving Jesus access to our mind, our heart, and life, so as we know more of who Jesus is and what he asks of us, our hearts are motivated to act upon what we know. Faith in Jesus is a relationship with Jesus, who we seek, listen to, and follow in our daily lives. Faith in Jesus leads to a life of transformation, a life in the likeness of Christ.
Thank you.
Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Jesus, the risen Christ, has been revealed to the world and to us as the Son of God, God in the flesh, the light of life, the way, the truth, and the life. He is Savior of all through his sacrifice for our sin, covering all sin by his blood shed on the cross. He overcame death, the penalty of sin, by his resurrection, offering life eternal in him as Lord of our life. The new life in Christ is given to all who believe he is Savior and Lord, who have faith in him, to complete a good work in them, to transform their minds, hearts, and lives into his likeness, and who walk with him in grace to love God and love all people on their way to glory. You see, in baptism, we put our old self to death, and we die with Christ as the water covers us. And we rise with Christ as we pass through the water to be born anew to life in Christ. This sacrament is an outward sign of a real inward work of God's grace. We are transformed. And as the scripture reveals, Christ is our life. This means we see the world through his eyes. We experience life motivated by his desires. We set our minds on him as the Holy Spirit guides us to live according to his will and his ways. Our inheritance is not of this world, but of the kingdom of God. So may our hearts be moved by the love of Christ to live now as children of the kingdom of God, raised to life in the risen Christ, to bring love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness into the world that we live in until we join with Christ in glory. You see, Jesus Christ is risen. Let us rise with him to new life in Christ. Amen.
The place where Jesus lay, angels have rolled the stone.
Resurrection Day. Hallelujah. We have been risen with the King. We are being transformed as we speak to love Christ and to love the world as Christ loves us. It is now time for us to celebrate through a giving of our offerings to share with the world what it means to love. We, as a reminder, we are using a special offering for our Mongolian initiative, and it is a partnership that is growing each and every week as we learn more about what is going on there. So let us give with generous hearts. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? Please join together in this prayer of dedication. God of new beginnings, you roll away more than stones. You roll away despair and doubt, fear and failure. On this resurrection morning, we offer our gifts and gratitude for the new life we have found in Christ. Let these offerings be signs of our commitment to live differently. Eyes open, hearts awaken, hands ready to serve. May what we give today help announce to the world that hope is alive, love has triumphed, and joy cannot be contained. Use us and what we offer to keep telling the story. Christ is risen indeed. Amen. You may be seated. Friends, we are invited by the risen Christ to gather around his table. And in the United Methodist Church, we believe in this as being a time when we actually spend time with Christ. We believe Christ's presence is with us in a mysterious way. We just know that Christ is with us. So I invite you to the Lord's table, knowing that we are truly loved by the risen Christ. So lift up your hearts and give thanks to God. Blessed are you, O God, who with your word and Holy Spirit created all things and called them good. In Jesus Christ, your word became flesh and dwelt among us. Through Jesus' suffering and death, you took upon yourself our sin and death and destroyed their power forever. You raised from the dead the same Jesus who now reigns with you in glory and poured upon us your Holy Spirit, making us the people of your new covenant. And on the night before meeting with death, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks to you and he broke the bread and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this as often as you take of it. Remember me." And on that night after the supper, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks to you, O God, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink of it, do this in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. So pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts, that in the breaking of this bread and the drinking of this cup, we may know the presence of the living Christ and be renewed as the body of Christ for the world redeemed by Christ's blood. Until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at your table forever. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. And all God's people said, Amen. Friends, our table is set before you. We will be receiving in the pews. So you'll be receiving a tray of the bread. Take the bread and hold on to it until after everybody receives. We'll take it together. And then we'll do the same with the cup. Ushers, would you please pray upon us? Thank you. This is the body of Christ. Take and eat. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink. Let us pray. Amazing God, we thank you for meeting us in this meal. That you promise to be with us wherever we are. Lord, we are grateful, for you are risen. Amen.
Let us rise, if you are able, and sing our closing hymn, number 310, He Lives.
Christ is risen. Now go in peace, having that joy of Jesus Christ in your heart, and share it with the world. Because He is risen, He is everywhere. Especially, and we take Him with us to meet the world. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.